Paul, can you kind of summarize what we know about right now based on these two papers and all the previous literature, your gut instinct about how often, I don't know if there's even a way to estimate the numbers, you go from, you know, HER2 positive, HER2 negative, HER2 negative, HER2 positive, ER and PR?
Well, I think what they found here may turn out, you know, they're not brilliant studies that have confirmed, but they found about a 20% discordance rate of one or other of the constellation of receptors. They didn't even break it down, actually. So, and it kind of fits with, you know, so if you add that on top of the primary tumor variability, you're looking at a pretty non-standardized assessment. I just want to be sure not to disagree with my colleagues about the importance of rebiopsy for the clinical reasons that have been stated, but also for the biomarker reasons. And, you know, until such time as we refine our approach to this, it's not unreasonable to say the patient's become HER2 positive, is symptomatic, she needs chemotherapy or anti-HER2 therapy. There's not an unreasonable reflex to that information. But I think we need to study this and research it carefully, prospectively, across the whole spectrum of natural history. Because as we pile treatments one upon the other, if a patient is progressing on endocrine therapy and develops HER2 positivity, will it be necessary to stop the endocrine therapy and switch, or keep the endocrine therapy and add? You know, there's all kinds of biological things we need to understand about these pathways before we can make, you know, sort of really accurate treatment decisions.
But I think it's fair to say for the practicing clinician right now, if they're going to rebiopsy and obtain new markers, chances are they're going to be making clinical decisions on the basis of the new current information.
Right.
But we need to be, and that's the reality of clinical practice, but everybody needs to be aware of the issues that we are discussing.
In primary tumors, we know a lot about the heterogeneity of many of these biomarkers and others we haven't talked about. I mean, it's not uncommon at all to have, for example, areas in a primary tumor that are HER2 positive amplified, and the opposite.
1%.
That's probably true in metastatic disease also.
Yep.
And I think it's a fundamental question about how effective, you know, following an apparent drift in biology will be, is whether you're selecting for existing populations, which means if you've got a tumor that's heterogeneous, part of that tumor might respond to your therapy, but, you know, another part might not. And that's the one that breaks out when you're under the pressure of that particular response.